Well, Pastor Brad, I cannot tell you how much the Bears have enjoyed these few days here. We're just going to pitch a tent out here and show up on a regular basis. Jane and I have both. We really have gotten turned on. And speaking of Jane, she encourages me in the ministry, always has. And she always tells me on Sunday when I get ready to preach, last thing she says is, "Go get 'em, Tiger." And then I'm walking up here and she goes, and you know about that one. "Keep it simple, stupid." And I believe in both of them. I really do. I really do. It is not easy to grasp what in the world God wants us to be and do. And to do it. We all want it, but it's not easy. And I think we do need to keep it simple. And missions is not easy, and it's confusing and hard. And these missionaries have been touching our hearts. Now I want to tell you something that, and it goes like this. I'm going to tell you a story about a group of people like this, when everything was against them, when their lives were, some of them were being killed, as some Christians are in our day. And to stand up for Christ. And there was just a handful of them. And that handful of people, in 30 years, turned this world upside down. How did they do that? This missions conference deals with how do you do missions? How did those people do it? I want to explain it to you, how they did it. It's really simple. And may you be blessed. May my ministry be blessed. And I thank you again for this opportunity, Brad. It goes like this. On a Friday, they crucified him. And they bury him. And on Sunday, this little band is leaving town. And Jesus is raised from the dead. And he is alive. And for 40 days, he ministers with that little band of people. And what he does in 40 days with that little band of people, within a few years, they turn the world upside down. And they do it as Jesus taught them, four simple life principles that you and I want to do, should do, because it will bring glory to God and bring missions around this world. It's still God's way. And it goes like this. The first principle is this. Jesus is alive. Let me read it to you. It's the first chapter of the book of Acts. And the great physician is writing to a Roman official, Theophilus. But it's the story of Jesus and the first principle. Let me read it to you. Hear the word of God. I am reading from the English Standard Version. In the first book, that would be the Gospel of Luke. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had been commanding through the Holy Spirit. He had commanded through the Holy Spirit the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Two things immediately. Number one, Jesus is alive and the kingdom is going to succeed. 40 days previous, it looked like it was all over. It's not all over. Jesus, he convinces these people that he is alive and that the kingdom of God that he talks about is going to continue and is going to succeed and grow. The second thing he does is very unusual. In that 40-day period, he does not show himself alive to anybody except this little grand band of people. Only to those people does he show himself alive. Interesting. Why does he do that? Well, I suggest he does that for these reasons. Number one, he wants to show and convince them. And he does it in a number of ways. He eats with them. He says, here, put your hands in my side, Thomas. And number two, he not only convinces them that he is alive, it means to them, when he meets only with them and he is approving them, that he loves them. And can you know what that would mean to the Apostle Peter, who confessed Christ one time, I'll do anything, and then he winds up just 40 days previous to all of this, he's cursing Christ and saying, I never even knew him. And now Peter finds out, he still loves me. That's the way it is with us. How in the world can Jesus love a guy like me and you? And you. But he does. And it's as you said in your prayers, forgive us and encourage us. We need your strength to do what you want us to do. Thank you for loving us, and thank you. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, I went to a seminary. It was a very liberal seminary. I was kind of a lost ball in the high weeds, and I don't know what was going on. And a guy came and he preached in Atlanta from the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. His name was Donald Gray Barnhouse. Man, I went 3 nights in a row, and boy, he turned me on. And he told the story, many stories, but he told the story of one day he was walking in downtown Philadelphia on his way to a business meeting, and he sees this young kid about 12 years of age, who was a shoe shiner. And he had his little stand there, and he didn't have a customer, but he was sitting there reading the Bible. And Barnhouse walks over and asks the young boy, he said, what are you reading? The Bible. Where in the Bible? The book of Revelation. Do you understand the book of Revelation? Yes. Can you explain it? Yes. Tell me. And he gives a two-word answer. The kid said, we win. That's what Jesus is trying to get over to you. We're not a bunch of losers. We're going to win. He's alive. And he's working. And he's alive. That's the first thing that you've got to understand. Second thing is this. Jesus goes on to say, as he gathers these men 40 days after his resurrection, they say to him, Lord Jesus, are you going to bring in the kingdom of God now to Israel? Are you going to do it now? And Jesus says, not for you to understand about the times and the seasons that God, but I want to tell you what I am going to do. You are going to be witnesses for me right here in Jerusalem, right here in Birmingham, in Alabama, USA, Hong Kong, and around this world. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be my witness because I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon you and give you power that you don't have right now. You know the problem with some Presbyterians? We don't talk enough about the Holy Spirit. I think we're afraid of the Pentecostals. Listen, the Holy Spirit, he says, I will give into every heart who believes. In fact, you won't believe until the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and he makes you believe. Let me read it to you, and then I'm going to make an application. But first of all, the first thing is Jesus convinced them. Are you convinced? He's alive, and he loves you despite your sin, and the kingdom is going to come. Number two, Jesus is going to commission. Listen how he commissions these men. The next verse is verse 6. When they had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What does that mean to us today? I tell you what it means. I had a friend who was a chaplain, Schwarzkopf. Is that the pronunciation? General Schwarzkopf. You know what it is. That's close enough. Desert Storm, I believe, war. He said on the night before they kicked off, Schwarzkopf had asked this guy to be, he was a chaplain, he's a PCA chaplain, to be his chaplain for all that war. And he said the night before they kicked off, at midnight, he gets all of the commanders together, Schwarzkopf does, and he tells each one of them what their mission was. Then they said, okay, you understand, yes. Then he said, Padre, pray we win. And he said, I got down on my knees with the rest of them, and we prayed, and we kicked it off. That's what Jesus is doing here. You know who he is? He is commissioning each one of us. We used to have commissioning worship services when a guy was going out to the field with his family, and we would commission him. Each one of us is being commissioned right here today. It's not just going to Hong Kong. Every one of us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, commissioned you to do what? Here's what you're commissioned to do. When you walk out that door, Jesus Christ is going to be witnessing in your life, and you're going to be witnessing for Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means the way you drive your automobile. It means what you do on Monday morning. Can you imagine right here on Monday morning, this crowd here just spread out, all for Jesus, all witnessing. Witnessing how? In two ways. Did you ever hear this kind of a phrase? I'd rather hear. No. I'd rather see a sermon rather than hear one. There are a lot of people here saying that right now. And I want to tell you what's wrong with that statement. It's not either or, it's both. That's what a witness is. And your witness is your life. And people are going to see your life, and you're going to witness with your life, and you're witnessing to Jesus with your lips. You are going to tell people about Jesus and the gospel and what he's done and what he is going to do. And that is what you are commissioned to do. Now somebody would say, when Jesus, this is a story. This happens, Jesus goes into heaven right after this. And an angel says, Lord, can I speak to you? Yes. Lord, are you going to bring in the kingdom of God right now into Israel, right now, right now? Are you going to do that, Lord? He said, yes, I'm going to bring in the kingdom. Oh, Lord, how are you going to do it? I'm going to let those 12 men, 11 men, and those men are going to be my witnesses, and they're going to bring in the kingdom of Almighty God through their lives. Lord, may I ask another question? Surely. What's plan B? I mean, are these the guys who never had done anything and weren't much? And Jesus says, there is no plan B. This is it, folk. You are going to be Jesus' witness. All you Christians, you may be a good witness or you can be a lousy witness for Jesus. But you're going to be a witness of some kind. Let it be a good witness for Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it meant this. These guys had done nothing. But within one book of one chapter, they're going to be exploding by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, Jesus not only is alive, he lives in you through the Holy Spirit. And you're not by yourself. And you're not just one individual. And you're not just some little guy. I want to tell you, God, the Holy Spirit, is with you. And you've got power. It is unbelievable. Don't give us this bad stuff. I'm not much. You are. This is what Jesus is saying. Now there's a third principle that takes place. Immediately, Jesus ascends up into heaven right after he commissions them. He not only convinces them that he is alive, he not only convinces them that a Holy Spirit is going to come upon them and that they are going to be his witnesses. The third thing he says, watch me. Let me read it to you. It goes like this. When he had said these things, Jesus, as they were looking up on him, Jesus, he was lifted up. A cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same manner as you saw him go into heaven. He's going to come again. But before he comes again, he's going to take you home. That's what Jesus is saying here. And that is interpreting right now for you and me this. Beloved, you ain't home. And you're never going to be home as long as you're on this earth. This is not home. You're a pilgrim. You're passing through. One day you're going to die. Did you ever sing it? Man, no man. Don't get old. I saw a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. I didn't ever think I was going to die. Not when I began the ministry, not when I was 50. But at my current age, I want to tell you, I'm going to die quick. It's not long off. I tell you what, makes a difference of how you look at life today. All you kids, you young people, I want to tell you, you're just passing through. This is not your home. That'll make a world of difference. When things get tight and people are screaming and scratching and trying to take from you and doing all of that, this is not your home. You don't have to sweat all that. Your home is in heaven. And Jesus is going to take you there. And you won't go to the other place. Because he loved you and died for you. And it's a sweet, sweet thing. I deal with people all the time who are facing death. And I want to tell you, half of them are frightened to death. How about you? Do you believe you're just passing through and that this is not your home? Are you convinced? It's going to make a difference of how you live on this earth. Now, there's a fourth principle. And the fourth principle, again, is very so simple. First principle, Jesus is alive. The kingdom is alive and well. Number two, you are commissioned to be Jesus' example, or better yet, a witness for Jesus. Number three, you're just passing through. This is not home. If this were home, your money is your God, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. But you've been freed from that. This is not my home. I'm going to heaven forever. And it is a glorious place. So great it can hardly be explained to us. And there's one more last principle, and it is this. You're to love one another in this church. And in every church. You're to love all people, but I want to tell you there's a special love for God's people. In prayer, loving one another. I go into too many churches where they don't necessarily love each other. Love your family and love the church. It's the same thing. People ought to walk in that door and sense, hey, these people love each other. They just sense it. Let me read it to you. This is the last principle that Jesus taught. And it goes like this. All these, 120 people in an upper room, all these with one accord, all together, this is verse 14, all with one accord, were devoting themselves in prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all his brothers. They'd been arguing. They'd been fighting who was the greatest, who's going to be number one in the kingdom. And now Jesus' mother is there. And it all has passed away. Peter is once again restored as the leader, and he begins to make decisions. It's always been that way with Jesus. Love each other. Jesus is alive. He has commissioned you. You are to be his witness in this world. You're just passing through this world, number three. Number four, love. Now, when you do those four things, missions will come. You don't have to do anything. It'll just come. It'll come through this thing we have here. Out of this church forms its missions. And you do three things. Some of you are going to give big money. All of you, and even the little kids, are going to get involved in saving money just for missions. And you're going to put it down. But some of you, you really got some money, haven't you? Those of you who are laughing don't have it. Oh, we are sinners. You're going to give money. And you're going to give every one of your children. They're going to get involved in it too. And every one of you single people. And every high school student. And you're going to get in prayer. You're going to get in prayer for these missionaries who've been sharing. And get in prayer for the witness. And then finally, some of you got to go. Is God speaking to anybody here? Is God speaking to anybody here about being a minister? Calling you to the gospel ministry? Anybody here? There's some guys who are 27 years of age, and you've been thinking about it. And some of you ladies have been thinking about a ministry. Find that ministry. Here, or full time. Bad words. Full time. But do it. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to pray. And somebody's got to give. You do all three. And you do it because of these four principles that you're living by and you're going to live by for the rest of your life as a Christian. Is there anybody here who doesn't understand what I've been talking about? You need to come to Christ. Christ will change your life. Christ will change your life. I'm going to ask the men to come forward now. If you're supposed to come forward, are they? How am I doing on time? Don't tell me there's no answer to prayer. I know half of you have been dying to pray about it. All right. Now you can turn those cards in. You're going to receive them. You can bring them. Some of you may want to think, but you ought to do it now. And I want to tell you, you might think about it for the rest of this week and turn another card in. Who knows? I tell you what, even the Bears are going to make a card and turn it in. And we're not even a member here. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus, that you sent him and that he loved us and that like Peter, oh God, we have our struggles and our trials. But you have loved us, you have not abandoned us, you have not ignored us, and we're slowly growing in our witnessing power. And some of us don't know the future, but we commit it all to you. We're just passing through. And we want to love each other like Jesus loves us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and thank you for this worship service. I ask you to hear our prayers, the prayers of your people. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.